After what Yakov has experienced, he deserves one good long break, right? This guy has not gotten a break. He was an Ishtab, he was Shev Olam, he was sitting in his tent, learning all by himself. And then he gets into this conflict with his brother. He has to flee from his house. He goes down to Haran. He finds a wife. He has to marry her sister. He ends up married to four wives, having 13 children, including Dina. They finally leave Haran after that entire episode and everything that it entails. They decide to head back to Eretz Yisrael, and then, oh, right, I wasn't just here to find a wife. I was here because I was running away from my brother. So they meet, and there is a conflict between Yaakov and Esav, and we expect this explosive battle, and in the end, it ends peacefully, and they go their separate ways. Yaakov returns back. He arrives in Shechem. His daughter is kidnapped. His sons kill out the town. Definitely not what he needed upon his arrival. And then as they continue their travels, the 13th child, Binyamin, is born. And it is at that point that he loses his dear wife, Rachel. And finally, Yaakov arrives back in Eretz Yisrael after all this having happened. So as I said, Yaakov deserves a nice long break. He could use a vacation, a time to just relax. However, as anyone with children can understand, you don't really get that break. The children, as I've heard before, little children, little problems, big kids, big problems. That it was no longer the issues that came about as the Shvatim were being born, but now they are grown people. These are people with personalities who interact with one another. And whenever there are that many people in one place, there are definitely going to be some clashes of personality. And the primary clash is between the majority of the Shvatim and Yosef. If you look in the first source on the source sheet is in the chat, Bereishis Lamed Zayin. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz migrei aviv be'eretz Kanaan. Finally, Yaakov sits down. He sits down to relax. Be'eretz migrei aviv, in the land of his fathers, be'eretz Kanaan. Eila told us Yaakov, these are the offspring of Yaakov, Yosef ben Shiva Esrei Shana. Yosef was 17 years old. Hayaro'eh et achiv batzon. He used to shepherd along with his brothers and the sheep. V'hu na'ar et b'nei Bilha v'et b'nei Zilpa. Now, this could be another topic of conversation, but he used to, in some way, v'hu na'ar et b'nei Bilha v'bnei Zilpa. It seems to be that he would sort of infantilize the children of Bilha and Zilpa, that he would make them seem small or insignificant. Nishay Aviv, because these were the like secondary wives of his father. Ve'ave Yosef etibatam ra'a el avihem. And Yosef was quite the tattletale, that whenever one of the brothers would say something or do something wrong, he would bring dibatam, the negative speech about them, to their father. V'Yisrael ha'avet Yosef mikol banav. However, despite the fact that Yosef was a tattletale, he was stirring the pot, causing some trouble. Yisrael ha'avet Yosef. Yaakov loved Yosef mikol banav more than all of his other sons. Ki ben zikunimhu, because he was a son born to him in his older age. V'asah lo ketonet pasim, and he made for him a ketonet pasim. We are going to delve in today and translate ketonet pasim, but for now, let's leave it as Yaakov made for Yosef a ketonet pasim. Ve'yiru achav ki oto ahav avihem. And the brothers took notice of what was happening. And they saw that Yaakov loved Yosef more than he loves all of the other brothers. Ve'yisne'u oto ve'lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom. They hated him and they were not able to speak to him peacefully. So we see right away that Yaakov favored Yosef, and as a sign of this favoritism, it's not enough that he would have just treated him a certain way, but rather he gave him additionally a ketonet pasim. So let's try to translate what is a ketonet pasim. So Rashi tells us, if you look in Rashi, on Bereishis Lamed Zayin Perek Gimel, pasim, lashon klei milat. This tells us that it was made of fine materials, kimo karpas utchilat, ukimoketonet pasim de tamar ve'amnon. It's made out of beautiful materials, and some of the materials sound like pasim, like karpas and chilat. It's alluding to us that these are beautiful materials. And the connection that Rashi makes is he connects it to the ketonet pasim de tamar ve'amnon. What is the ketonet pasim in tamar ve'amnon? This is in Shmuel Bet, We learn about two of the children of David HaMelech and a very, very unfortunate story. There is the son of David who is named Amnon. Amnon is not of such fine character, and he decides that he is going to rape his sister. He seduces her into his room and he rapes her. And then it says the moment after he commits this terrible act that overcomes him, this sense of hatred for his sister, and he casts her out. And the pasuk mentions there that as he casts out Tamar, she is wearing her ketonet pasim, which is a sign of all of the virgin daughters of the king would wear. That this was what the princesses would wear, the nisiot petulot, that the virgin daughters of the king would all wear this beautiful ketonet pasim. So we see that it was a sign of royalty. That even though it comes up in that very strange context, and we hear about it first in this sort of negative way, it is something that was a symbol of royalty. So it was made out of beautiful, fine materials, and it was some sort of coat. The Ralbag, though, adds, which gives us the understanding of how we typically understand the Ketonet Pasim and how we may envision it as we read this Pasuk, Ketonet Pasim, Lachosh mitzvaim mitchalfim. It was made out of alternating colors. Hayaderech mashal kisheyor pisat yad mitzva echad v'kein timshach lihiyot mitzvaim rabim. It started out with one color, and then it would switch to another color, and after a certain measure each time, it would be equal amounts of every single color. So this was the amazing Technicolor dream coat that all of us imagine, this striped, beautiful coat. I actually just got a message from my son's school that tomorrow will be Stripes Day, that everybody has to wear stripes in order to, so that they can learn about the Ketonet Pasim. But this was that Yaakov gave Yosef this beautiful, striped, ornate, beautifully made, beautifully constructed garment. And he gave that to Yosef. And then later on in the story, as we know, Yosef tells over his dreams that he begins to have to his brothers. They don't go over very well. Nobody's very happy to hear that that Yosef is dreaming about them all bowing down to him. So their relationship is definitely not improving as time goes along. And eventually there is one time where the brothers are all out shepherding and Yosef is home. And Yaakov sends out Yosef to go check on his brothers. And we know that this is going to be quite the fateful event, that this is going to be the turning point really in all Jewish history. That up until this point, it has been the Avos and the Imahos, and that's who we hear about. And it is at this point that it is going to be the trigger that is going to eventually send the entire Jewish people down to Egypt. And from that point, the rest of the Torah, and one may say the rest of Jewish history, is alternating between Galus and Geula, is about us being in our homeland and being exiled from our homeland, returning to our homeland and being exiled yet again. So this moment, this turning point, when Yaakov sends Yosef to check on his brothers, is a very significant point. And it is at this point that we hear for the second time about the Ketonet Pasim. So Yosef arrives, he goes to check on his brothers, and when they see him, they decide that they are going to rid themselves of this brother once and for all, that they are going to get rid of him. The suggestion is made to kill him, and eventually the suggestion is made as well to simply sell him. They see travelers coming on the road, and they say, we don't really need to kill him. We can just sell him. We'll never have to see him again. We'll tell our father that he is dead, and we will be rid of him from our lives. So in Bereishis Lamed Zayin, we then come, they have to carry out this plan. Vayhi kasher by Yosef el achiv. So it was when Yosef approached his brothers, Vayivshitihu et Yosef et ketunato. They take this ketonet, this coat off of Yosef. Et ketonet pasim asher alav. They rip off this ketonet pasim from upon him. Vayikachayhu v'yishlachu oto habora. And they take it off and they cast him into the boar. They throw him into a pit. V'habor reik ein bo mayim. The boar is empty and there is no mayim in it. There is no water inside. They eventually take this ketonet pasim, and once they sell Yosef, they slaughter an animal, and they dip the ketonet pasim into the blood of the animal, so that when they return to their father and they say that Yosef was mauled by an animal, they have the evidence to prove it. They have this ripped and torn ketonet pasim that is covered in animal blood, and they are able to show their father that Yosef is no longer with them. The Chizkuni asks here, what is going on at Ketonet HaPasim? Why did they specifically have to take off his coat? They couldn't have sold him in his coat. Lefisha he garmat chila hasina. Because this Ketonet HaPasim, this coat, was the source of the hatred. That this was exactly from where the hatred had come. So based on this, Chizkuni, I have a question, which is what we are going to explore today. My question is, what was so significant about the Ketonet Pasim? Couldn't you have said that there must have been other signs of the favoritism if it was clear that Yaakov loved Yosef so much more than all the other brothers? What is so significant about this Ketonet Pasim? Why did Yaakov specifically give this Ketonet Pasim, and what do we pick up on from his reasoning that we can understand why it leads to the hatred? So for that, we are going to go into three approaches of what was special about the Ketonet Pasim. Why did Yaakov specifically give Yosef this amazing Technicolor dream coat? So approach number one. Approach number one. The Radak tells us on Bereishis Lamed Zayin, Pasim, Me'inyan Pas Yadav. This is from the idea of Pas Yadav, which is a specific measurement. V'hayta Ketonet Asuya Pas Achad Mitzeba Achad. This is the same as the Ralbag that we looked at before. That this coat was made of one measurement of one color, V'pas Achad Mitzeba Acher, and another measurement of another color, and it continued on as such, that it was alternating colors. K'mokli Milacha Asuyim Pasim Pasim. It was made of soft, beautiful fabrics, and it was made pasim pasim, stripes and stripes. Vaitak tonet na'e, the coat was particularly beautiful. Vizahaya goremlo shiisan uoto milvachaya midaberala ra'alavihem. So what happens here? Yaakov's really, there was no greater significance. He just wanted to give his son something that was so beautiful. He loved him. Then he wanted to give him something that was fine and soft and beautiful and pleasant on the eyes. That was how he wanted to show his love for Yosef. So what do the brothers pick up on? They pick up on exactly that. That it wasn't enough that Yosef told on them to their father. It wasn't enough that their father loved Yosef, but to also try to specifically give him something beautiful when the rest of them received nothing, that was more than they could bear. So very simple, basic shot. Why did Yaakov give a Ketonet Pasim? Because he wanted to give his son something beautiful. Okay, understandable. He loves him. He wants to give him beautiful things. But the brothers picked up on this, and this was the tipping point, that it's enough to emotionally feel that their father loves their brother more, but to actually see it presented in front of them, that was too much. As it says, and the Arizal says, Le'olam al yatil adam kina bin habanim shebishvil chamisha tzla'im milat shehusif Yaakov liyosef al banav nitkan'u balachay veyardu avoseinu limitzrayim. The Arizal has a striking point here. That the Arizal says, one should never place something that will cause jealousy between your children. He says, why is that? Bishvil chamisha tzla'im milat. Because of just five measures of beautiful fabric, our ancestors went down to Egypt. That it was the one thing that Yaakov gave Yosef that was excessive beyond what his brothers had, that led to the hatred that sent our forefathers down to Egypt. So the Arizal is calling upon us to notice the magnitude, that this was not something extremely thought out. There was no particular reasoning behind the Ketonet Pasim. It's just that it was beautiful and Yaakov wanted to give his son something beautiful. But the ramifications are great. The ramifications of the fact that this is what caused an intense jealousy between the brothers should not be overlooked, as this is what sent our forefathers down to Egypt. So that is approach number one. What is the Ketonet Pasim? Just a beautiful coat that Yaakov wanted to give him something that was pleasant. The second approach, though, is we will begin with Rashi and continue with the Midrash. Rashi tells us, V'midrash amar ayin sham, sarotav. So it says in the Pasuk that when we talk about the Ketonet Pasim, we also say the word tsarotav. What is it talking about? It says that this is an allusion to the tsarot, to the hardships that Yosef will endure. Shenimkar lepotifar, we have the pay. Vilisocharim, we have the samech. Vilishmaelim, we have the yud. Vilimaidanim. And we have the mem. So pasim is an alliteration. No, not an alliteration. Is a roshi tivot. Is a, I'm losing my word. Roshi tivot. It's a acronym. That's what it's called. It is an acronym for the hardships that Yosef will endure. So he will be sold to Potiphar. He will be sold to the first travelers. He will then be sold to the Ishmaelim and then to the Maidanim. He will go through this entire path when he is sold from one person to another person to another person. And the Pasim alludes to the hardships that he will go through. So Yaakov could have really given Yosef anything. And at the time, it probably seemed like Yaakov was simply giving him a coat. But the particular language of ketonet pasim that is used when it is told over to us in the Torah, the word pasim is told to give us insight as to what will come. The Bereishis Rabbah expands upon this idea that there is a greater significance that we may be aware of by using the language of ketonet pasim that adds a layer to this story. So that first, the Rashi may give us an idea that Yaakov had an idea of what would be happening to Yosef, that he sort of gave him this as a foreshadowing as to what will come. And therefore, it would make a lot of sense that this is what is returned to Yaakov, that when they send off their brother, they bring back this pasim and they say, what you thought will happen actually happened. So here you go. They didn't know that. And that actual conversation never would have happened. But as the reader understanding the text, we are able to see the irony in returning the ketonet pasim, which was a symbol of the hardships, back to Yaakov when the hardships actually occurred. The Bereishis Rabbah adds a few different understandings and a few different levels that are similar to the one that Rashi presented, that there is a greater significance to the ketonet pasim that we are aware of. The Yisrael Ahavet Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Jehaziv Ikunin Shalo Domelo. They're trying to discuss why did Yaakov love Yosef more. And Rabbi Yehuda tells us it's because Yosef looked very similar to him. Rabbi Nechemia Amar Shekol Halachot Shemasru Shem Ve'Iver LeYaakov Masran Lo. Rabbi Nechemia tells us, no, it was because Yaakov and Yosef were chavrusas, that everything that Yaakov had learned, all the halakot that he had absorbed in Yeshivat Shem Ve'Iver on his way down to Haran, he then gave over to Yosef. And through the bond of Torah learning, he came to love Yosef more than all of his other children. As it says in Bereishis Lamed Zayin, now the Midrash is continuing, the asalo ketonet pasim, it's not enough that he just loved him and favored him, but rather he also made for him this ketonet pasim. Now we are going to have a number of different opinions on the understanding of ketonet pasim. Rish Lakish b'shem Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah Omer. Sarich adam shelo l'shanot ben mibanav. A person may never distinguish one child from his other children. Shal yedei ketonet pasim she'asa avinu Yaakov liYosef. Because of this ketonet pasim that Yaakov had made for Yosef, v'yesan uoto. The other brothers began to hate him. Pasim, so it comes to explain, what is pasim? Shehaita magat ad pas yado, that it approached a certain place on his hand. Davar acher, but rather we get a deeper explanation. Shehaita daka v'kala b'yoter, v'nitmenet b'pasyad. Pasim shehifisu aleihem eza mehem yolichu la, Shaita Dakavikala, that it was beautiful and it was thin and it had a specific feel to it. But now we're going on to the deeper significance. Pasim Shehifisu Alaha Iza Mehem Yolichala Aviv Va'alat LeYehuda. That the Shehifisu Alaha, that they were trying to understand who would be fit for this position. Iza Mehem Yolichala Aviv Va'alat LeYehuda. And it arrived and it came upon Yehuda. Pasim sha'al shem tzarot shehigi uhu. This was named for the tzarot, for the hardships that would come upon Yosef. Pasuk amar Potiphar. Oh, so the pay is from Potiphar. The samech is from Socharim. The yod is from Yishmaelim. And the mem is from Maidanim. So he gives us the same quote that Rashi. So Rashi had been quoting from this midrash that it was alluding to us the hardships that Yosef would go through. And lastly, davar acher, pasim Rabbi Shimon. Ben Lakish b'shem Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, lechu re'u mifalot elukim. Go out and see the actions of Hashem. Uchtiv batre, and it says in Tehillim, hafach yam liyabasha, lama v'yan usu ota b'shvil sheyikra hayam lefnehem pasim pasim. The last approach in the Midrash, so we had the approach that it was pasim, someone had to be able, shehifisu, someone who was going to be able to comfort, had to take this job upon them. Shehifisu is to comfort. So that job came upon Yehuda. So we knew that this coat was going to bring about the need to comfort, and therefore it is called the Ketonet Pasim. The second explanation in the Midrash was that this is the Pasim. It's an allusion to the different hardships that would fall upon Yosef. But lastly, the Midrash is telling us that it is alluding to us way to the end of the story, not about when Yosef would go down to the story, but when we would eventually emerge. That this Ketonet Pasim is going to lead to something so much greater than just Yosef going down to Egypt, that it is eventually going to lead to the entire story of the Exodus, which ended with the sea being split into Pasim Pasim, that the Yam Suf was split into stripes. And this Ketonet Pasim was meant to give us that imagery of stripes, that we are going to hold on to that. And we are going to say, with Pasim, we came down to Mitzrayim. And with Pasim, through stripes, we are going to leave from Egypt. So the second approach is this more midrashic approach, which is that hidden within the language used of Ketonet Pasim, that Yaakov could have made him anything. He could have made him a pair of pants. He could have made him shoes, but he specifically made him a Ketonet Pasim with this language of Pasim. And we understood that through a number of midrashic lenses, how that connects us to the rest of the story that is going to come about as a result of this Ketonet Pasim. So the journey down to Egypt and the exodus eventually from Egypt that will both happen through this Ketonet Pasim. So again, first approach, Yaakov just wanted to make something beautiful. The second approach is there is a midrashic significance, that there is an allusion in the language Pasim that tells us about the rest of the story that is going to come out of this Ketonet Pasim. And now for our third approach, the Abar Benel is going to tell us on our same pasuk, Ve'asalu Ketonet Pasim. Yaakov made for him a Ketonet Pasim. Yaakov looked at all his sons and he recognized that Yosef was going to be greater than all of the rest of his sons. And he wanted that so too his clothing should be more significant than the clothing of his brothers. And the Abar Benel uses here very specific language. Big day, kodesh lechvod uletifaret. This should be holy clothing that should be to beautify and to glorify. What is this language pulled from? This is the same language that is used, lechvod uletifaret, by the big day kahuna. That we learn about the ketonet, we learn about a me'il, we learn about the different types of clothing when we learn about the kohen and the kohen gadol. And when it talks about the big day kahuna, it says, lechvod uletifaret. And this gives us the idea that clothing, that something physical, can bring about honor and dignity. That clothing, I actually just recently was preparing something, a whole unit on clothing. And there is this idea that clothing is much more significant than just something to simply cover your body. Rather, that there is an element of dignity to the clothing that we wear. So when Yaakov is making this for Yosef, he is recognizing that just as the Kohanim need to dress in a way that signifies that they are more important or more holy in whatever sense we understand that to be, that they are on a higher level than the rest of the nation, Yaakov wanted to impart this message to Yosef as well, that he recognized that Yosef was going to be more important than the rest of his brothers, that he was going to be more significant, and therefore he gives him this Ketonet Pasim lechvod uletifaret to call upon for us the imagery of the big day kahuna, because again, we have the Torah in its entirety, and we know that this, we are able to make this connection and this comparison. And therefore, we are going to say Yosef is receiving a very important, very dignified gift from his father. V'chvar hishiru chazal amal bushei chachamim sheyu nikiyim v'tovim. And Chazal already told us that a Talmid Chacham, his clothing must be special, that his clothing must be nice and his clothing must be clean. And the Chazal tell us that a Talmid Chacham who is seen in dirty clothing, in unfit clothing, is chayav mita. Va'amru asur l'Talmid Chacham leilich b'mena'alayim mitula'im v'zulat zeharbei. We learn that a Talmid Chacham has to hold himself to a certain stature, that, and he must do that through his clothing, that he must dress in an appropriate way. And if not, It is something that is very serious because this is going to be mitzalzel, the kavod of the Talmud Chacham. This is going to minimize the kavod that the Talmud Chacham receives if he is not dressed appropriately. He'll be parallel Yosef big day sheish vihine im kim ketone pasim hi laot simlato. So Yaakov recognized that he said all of the brothers wear one type of clothing. I am going to give Yosef a more significant type of clothing, a more special type of clothing that is going to very clearly raise him above the rest. That because of his stature, whether it was as a Talmud Chacham, as someone who was important, he had to be raised above his brothers. So this was not just simply about giving something beautiful to beautify Yosef, to give him a gift that he would enjoy. Rather, there was a deeper significance here, which one would say, of course, then it caused sinna. With the other two, you can say, okay, it's not so fun when one of our siblings gets something that's nicer than when we get, but one wouldn't say it's like hatred inducing. And definitely with our second approach, which is that only we really understand the significance later on, that in the time there would have been no way to understand what Yaakov was alluding to through the giving of the Ketonet Pasim. But with this third approach, we very much understand how this would incite hatred. That Yaakov was specifically saying, Yosef is going to be more important, and therefore he needs to be dressed in the way of a dignitary, in the same way that when Yosef arrives down in Egypt, they also give him big day sheish. They give him silken clothing to show that he is a dignitary. So Yaakov is doing that as well. He is showing that Yosef is going to be more significant, more special than the rest of his brothers. And I think then it makes perfect sense why this Ketonet Pasim comes in with this entire episode of the dreams and the whole thing with their brother. We could have left out this detail, right? We already know that the brothers don't like Yosef. We don't need it in order to continue the story. However, if this intention of Yaakov was made clear, that Yaakov wanted to raise Yosef over his brothers, and then they hear the dreams where Yosef is taking this to heart, and he no longer thinks that he's just going to be more important, but that all the brothers are going to bow down to him, we understand why that got the hatred boiling within them. That they said, not only does our father think he's special, now it's getting to his heart. This guy, well, how significant is he? He's our little brother. He's nothing. But he thinks he's more important. Our father thinks he's more important. We need to get rid of him. So then when they do get rid of Yosef, they send him off hoping to never see him again. They return this Ketonet Pasim to their father as if to say, you thought he was so great? Now he's gone. Who's left? Just us. All the ones that were supposed to be less important, less exciting, less special. Look what the Ketonet Pasim was minimized to. It's torn and shredded and covered in blood. And look who's bringing it back to you. Us. The ones who were both supposed to be serving him, we are now the only ones remaining. So I think either way that we look at the Ketonet Pasim, that whether it was really just a nice gift, whether it was given with a greater significance that was meant to be alluded to, or whether we understand it as a status symbol, that it was meant to signify where Yaakov thought each of the sons was going to go, we can very much understand the statement of the Arizal, that it was because of this five measures of fine fabric that eventually we were sent down to Egypt. That it is not specifically about the article of clothing, but it is about the emotions that are imparted, the intentions that are imparted along with it. So I think something that we can take from this discussion today is the idea of the greater significance of simple things. That it seems like some insignificant part of the story, when there are prophecies and there are dreams and there is so much going on, in the end of the day, it was the five measures of fine fabric that sent us down to Egypt.